tell you, that song is proof that not every song has to have been written in the 1800s to be timeless. That's a song that'll keep on going as long as we're here and the Lord doesn't take us back out of here to heaven. That's a song that just speaks to us over and over again each time we hear it. I appreciate that very much. Thank you very much. We're going to jump around tonight. I guess the first place to have you go is Matthew 14. Matthew 14, but we won't get there for a little while, so just find your place there and put a marker of some sort there. And what I'd like to do is, strange as it may sound, I'd like to start off with a little bit of a public service announcement I think will be a help to you. Obviously, our most important thing is we want to give forth spiritual truth, but also if there's something practical that I can give you that'll help you, this is a great opportunity for me to do so. And strangely enough, what brought my attention to this issue was a post that's actually circulated on Facebook. A number of you have shared it, and I thought it'd be helpful to you. It's an article written by a man named Mario Vitone, and it's entitled "Drowning Doesn't Look Like Drowning." You may be familiar with it. You may have seen it. And it was one of those articles that I wouldn't even have noticed, wouldn't even have read, but just something about it grabbed my attention, and I did. And I found that it was extremely helpful and especially timely given the season. This is the time of year where people go to the beach, or as we Baptists say, the coast, and or the pool, or as we say, the baptistry, or whatever. I think it's helpful to hear this. I think this will be a help to you. So pay close attention to this. Even if you're not a swimmer, pay close attention to this because this will help you and it'll help you pass this information along. Of the 750 children who will drown this next year, about 375, that's 50%, will do so within 25 yards of their parent or another adult. Think about that. Within 25 yards. And the author tells a story of there was a cruise line that was out, and they pulled into port somewhere. And sometimes what will happen is they'll be in shallow enough water to where the people can actually get out and swim in the water. And the captain happened to have been a former lifeguard, and he was down low enough to where he could get to the water. And he just instinctively jumped in the water. And there was this married couple that were out there, and they thought that he was swimming right towards them. And they're like, he must think we're drowning, because they were splashing and carrying on and acting silly and everything. And he must think that we're drowning. Well, what he did is he actually swam right past them, right between them, and kept on going 10 yards further where their daughter was drowning. And they didn't even realize it. They didn't even realize it. And he just gives some interesting information about this. You can certainly check it out and find this. Except in rare circumstances, drowning people are physiologically unable to call for help. This is because the respiratory system is designed for breathing, and speech is a secondary or overlaid function. Breathing must be fulfilled before speech can occur. So if your body has to choose between breathing and speaking, it's going to choose breathing. All right? And then it gives some signs of drowning. The head is low in the water. The mouth is at water level. The head is tilted back with the mouth open. Eyes are glassy, empty, or unable to focus. Eyes are closed. Long hairs over the forehead or the eyes. They don't appear to be using their legs. They're hyperventilating or gasping. They're trying to swim in a direction but not making headway. They're trying to roll over onto their back. It appears like they're trying to climb an invisible ladder. You say, well, Andy, this is helpful, but this is a bit out of the ordinary for you to give such a public service announcement. Well, you would be correct in thinking that I have an ulterior motive. Because as I read this article, and it was not intended this way so far as I can tell, but as I read this article, immediately I saw just all kinds of spiritual applications. It's loaded with them. I want you to hear this, because this is the kind of message that you don't hear in a lot of independent fundamental Baptist churches, and it is desperately, desperately needed. Many people, even Christians, I'm talking about people who have been saved a long time, are emotionally and spiritually drowning. They're drowning. Now, the reason you don't hear about this kind of thing a lot It's because we have been conditioned to take this position that any kind of an emotional thing like this, any kind of a, dare we say, a mental struggle, is pariah, it's taboo. We dare not talk about it. Because we take this position that, well, we believe that God can heal anything and you just rely on God and everything will be all right. And if you're going through that, it's because you're not reading your Bible or you're not praying and all that kind of thing. Do you believe God can heal you of a headache? Do you still take ibuprofen? Sure. We believe God can heal us of anything. We still go to the doctor, don't we? We need to stop looking at this through the lens of taboo and start dealing with it. Because I got news for you, folks. It isn't going anywhere. This is serious business. This is serious business. So much so that I believe that this is one of the reasons that we are seeing an exponential jump in suicide rates, even among Christians. Can I give you some statistics? These first come from the Center for Disease Control. From 1999 to 2017, there was a 33% increase in suicide in the United States. In America right now, it is the 10th leading cause of death among all Americans. The 10th. Now, here's one that's really troubling. It is the second leading cause of death for ages 10 to 34. The second leading cause. This is especially noticeable among our veterans. This comes from the Veterans Administration. From 2008 to 2016, each year there was an average of 6,000 veterans that took their own life. That's 16 every day. There was a 25.9% increase from 2005 to 2016. Why am I giving you these statistics? Because all of these started off because somebody was drowning and nobody noticed. And if you think that this can't touch the church, then you're mistaken. Now, I'm not saying this to try and put this on me, but just in the last 2 years, I can think of three prominent pastors who took their own life. You know why? Because they started drowning. And Christians aren't supposed to drown, are they? Now let's begin. And like I said, we're going to jump around a great deal. We're going to speak on the subject of drowning tonight. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 14. There is a difference between sinking and drowning. Peter was not yet drowning. Look at chapter 14, verse 30. You know the story. But when he, Peter, saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Now remember, what did we learn from the article? It is almost impossible to speak when you're drowning. Peter was not yet drowning. He had begun to sink. And would to God that as we begin to feel ourselves sinking, that we would cry out and get some help. But all too often what happens is the sinking digresses into drowning. And then we're in real trouble. I've pastored for 13 years. I'm not an expert on anything, but I've seen some things. Y'all, I'm telling you, we got to open our eyes on this kind of stuff. Because if we don't, we stand to lose some people. I'm thinking of a family that do not attend this church, but I'm thinking of a family right now, and the precious lady is battling postpartum depression. Let me tell you something, that's a real thing. I'm not talking about the blues. I'm not talking about momentary discouragement. I'm talking about she's drowning. And her husband, who I believe unwisely is saying, we'll push through it, it'll be all right. It's unwise. She's drowning. drowning. So I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of drowning. Father, help us. It's not a happy subject, but I believe it's long overdue. I don't know that anybody in here is drowning, but maybe they are. Maybe they will be. Maybe they have been and could have used this information. I don't know. But God, I just pray that you'd have your way tonight. And may Christ be lifted up. For it's in his name we ask these things. Amen. All right, let's begin with the symptoms of drowning. Now remember, I want you to remember back to the article. I asked you to pay close attention to it, and this is why. Because there's some spiritual parallels here. Number one, the first thing we notice about drowning is that it's silent. Generally, see, here's what's happened. Hollywood and television and all of that have given us this idea that when somebody's drowning, they're flailing and their arms are going everywhere and they're, help, help, and all that. That is almost never the case. Drowning is a silent endeavor. And somebody just slips under. And if you're not watching, if you don't know what to look for, they'll lose you. Can I tell you, there's Christians all over the place. They are drowning. They don't feel like they can call out for help. They're silent. They're quiet. And they're slipping away. Something else that we notice as a symptom of drowning is not only is it silent, it's scattered. You remember they said they couldn't focus? Their eyes don't focus on any one thing? Watch out if you find that you're not able to focus on things that God used to use to drive your attention in a certain direction. You get scattered. You find the Word of God just doesn't really jump out at you, and the songs of Zion don't do anything for you. You can't focus on anything that you used to focus on, and your mind's just always a blur. It could be that you're drowning. It could be somebody you love is drowning. Drowning is silent, it's scattered. You know what else? It's stationary. Remember what they said? You try to swim in a direction, but you can't make any headway. Have you ever been here? Have you seen somebody that it seemed like they were trying to move in a direction for the Lord? They were trying to get somewhere, and they just couldn't get anywhere. They were just stationary, and they just a whole lot of activity, but no real progress. They may be drowning. They may be drowning. These are the symptoms of drowning. But then number two, I want you to notice the situations that bring about drowning. There's really two sources. You can either find that you're drowning because of an outward stimulus or because of an inward stimulus. Now we're speaking spiritually now. Let's begin with outward. It could be that something that has happened from without is affecting you in such a way that it has brought you to a place of drowning. It is coming in from the outside. Go to Psalm 124, would you? Psalm 124. It could be persecution. It could be hardship. It could be some kind of outside difficulty, a job problem or a family problem or something like that, but something that is acting upon you from the outside. David had something to say about this in Psalm 124, verse 1. Song of Degrees of David. Psalm 124, verse 1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. So you see the outside influence here? Now look at verse 3. I'm sorry, verse 4. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. The fact is, there are things that can happen on the outside that can bring such an inundation of sorrow or hurt or difficulty that it overwhelms the soul and you find yourself gasping for spiritual breath. You're drowning. But it's been my experience, it's been my personal experience. That more often than not, it is not something on the outside that brings it about. It's something on the inside. Sometimes our drowning is self-inflicted. Sometimes we bring about those circumstances on our own with no help from the outside. It could be something like dwelling on the negative, a failure to trust, embracing sinful practice or even sinful thinking, things that we're not willing to do away with in our inner man that leads us to drowning. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is one example to just illustrate what we're talking about here. It doesn't have to be this particular sin, but it illustrates what we're talking about. This inward bringing about of this drowning. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which what? Drown men in destruction and perdition. Now, how do we know this is inner? Here's how we know, verse 10. For, that's a coordinating conjunction. It ties us into the last thought, right? For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. If I were standing before you tonight and I am drowning, it is either because something on the outside has brought it into my life, or it's because I've allowed something to cultivate on the inside that has exacerbated the problem. But can I tell you, either way, it matters, but we still got to deal with it. If somebody develops lung cancer, at the end of the day, does it matter if it's because they smoked or not? Not really. You still got to deal with it, don't you? If somebody's battling some other dreaded disease, let's say heart disease, and it's because of their diet, does it really matter? Do you deal with the situation? I don't know what may be causing you to face drowning or causing me to face drowning. Maybe it's outward, maybe it's inward, but at the end of the day, we got to deal with it. We almost, if we're not careful, we almost take this position that if you brought it upon yourself, well, then that's just what you get. Best of luck to you. Aren't you glad God doesn't see things like that? Sometimes I'm tempted not to ask God to help me if I know my problem is self-inflicted. But that's when God really wants to help us. And so we've seen the symptoms and we've seen the situations. I'm glad to tell you, if you feel like you're drowning tonight, if somebody you love is drowning, there's a solution. There's a solution. And it really comes down to two simple truths. If you want to see a solution, if you want to get deliverance in this matter of drowning, here it is. First of all, you've got to define it. You've got to define drowning. Because I think that's one of the problems is we don't know we're drowning because we don't really know what it is. Well, let's look at it. What is drowning? Drowning is when something that is meant to be on the outside finds its way on the inside, right? What is drowning, physically speaking? It's when water goes from the outside down the windpipe inside the lungs. It's not supposed to be in there. What should be on the outside is now on the inside. Now, friend, I got some news for you. Try as you might, you cannot avoid negativity. You cannot avoid difficulty. You cannot avoid even being in the presence of sin. We live in a sin-cursed world. But the key is not letting what's outside get inside. Because it could be tonight that if you feel like you're drowning, it's very likely it's because at some point you let something that was on the outside that should have remained there, you let it get inside. And now you can't breathe. It could have been anything. Could have been an attitude. Could have been a pastime. It could have been a way of thinking or anything like that. But you've let it, what should have been on the outside, let it on the inside. And by definition, that is why you're drowning. How do we take steps to keep things from getting on the inside? I'm glad you asked. Go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Now, I don't mean to offer this as this easy pat answers. It's simple, but it's not easy. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful. That means full of care, anxious. Doesn't mean to be negligent. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God. When you're drowning, what do you lack? You lack peace. Now, it's been said that drowning is a peaceful way to die. I don't see how that's possible. It is once you pass out. But until you pass out, it's quite unpeaceful. And if you feel like you're drowning tonight, if I feel like I'm drowning tonight, I have no peace. So we need peace. The peace of God, verse 7, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Where's your heart and mind? On the outside or the inside? Inside. You know what keep means? To guard. You've got something that God intends to guard what's inside against what's outside. Does that make sense? Okay. Let's keep reading. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. Where does thinking take place, outside or inside? Inside, right? So what are you doing? You've got something that's guarding you from things coming in from the outside. Now you're using those things that are pure and lovely and just and all of that to build up a wall of protection. In addition to that peace. Simply put, there's no way what's on the outside can come inside because you're already full of something else that's good and useful. Verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. I don't mean to give you this idea that this is easy. It's not, but it is simple. If we will fill ourselves up with the things of God's Word, it will keep what's on the outside from getting on the inside. And when I look over my life and I look at those times that I felt that I was drowning, without exception, God and His Word did not have the place of preeminence in my life that He was supposed to. Without exception. What's the solution for drowning? It begins with the definition, but then secondly, we look to direction. If I'm drowning, there's only one direction that saves me. If I'm drowning, it does me no good to go to the right or to go to the left or to go forward, to go backward, and it certainly does not help me to go downward. There's only one direction that saves you. Upward. And here's what we do when we're drowning. And this is where we make our mistake. And I'm not discounting the value of having friends and loved ones that care about you, that are an encouragement to you. But at the end of the day, if I'm drowning, and because you're seated, I'm going to take a knee. If I'm drowning, it is not going to help me long term to look to Randall or Bethany or my sister or my wife or the McDonald's or the Burnhams. It's not going to help me. It's not going to help me to look down, obviously. It's not going to help me to look backward. I've only got one direction that helps me. I've got to look upward. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my what? My help. My help cometh from who? Lord. Beloved, let me tell you something. If you're drowning, yes, encouragement helps and it's great and everything else. But if you're drowning, in the long term, it's not going to help you to hear the latest thing from this preacher or read the latest book or go after the latest guru or find your special friend or whatever. That's not what's going to save you. If you're drowning, there's only one direction that will help you. You call up. Because He's the only one to get you out. And I can prove it. We go back to the Psalms. Psalm 61, verse number 2. Psalm 61, verse number 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is what? Overwhelmed. Then what's he say? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Friend, here's what I'm saying. Here's the so what. I don't care how long you've been saved. And I don't care what you've been through. You will find a season in which you feel you're drowning. And if you say, well, I've never been through that season, then you just didn't know it. Does it make you less of a Christian? Does it make God love you any less? It's the reality and fact of being human. And I've spent 44 years, well, let's go 40 years, listening to pompous, self-absorbed and self-assured Christians tell each other that every problem you've got is because you just don't trust God like you should. And people are dying because of that. They're drowning because of that. Boy, we could use a dose of compassion when dealing with people, couldn't we? Because all of us will be there. Tonight, somebody you love could be drowning. I remind you, it's silent. They're not going to say anything. To God be the glory, I think I'm okay right now. Can I tell you why those three pastors killed themselves that I referenced earlier? Can I tell you why? Because pastors aren't supposed to face this. That's why. You've been a Sunday school teacher for 40 years? Oh, you'll never face this. And we don't want to stay anything because of the stigma. But I'm telling you, if you're here tonight and you're drowning, you need help. I'm not saying go see a therapist. I'm not saying find a psychoanalyst. The fact is, the vast majority of that stuff is secularly based, it's worldly, and it's no help. But you need to find some Christians. Christian that's got some sense, knows how to read the Bible. It can be an accountability help to you and be an encourager to you. But you can't do it alone. I have preachers that I call, and I vent, and I whine. And I complain. And they tell me, no, you know you're not right. I know I'm not right. And they help me get right with the Lord. And then they say, okay, what's the real problem? They're helpful to me. You find somebody like that. Because I'm telling you, if we're around doing this thing together for any amount of time at all, you're going to face this. Sometimes people are drowning. Remember the definition. It's when you've let something that should be out here into here. And the only direction that helps you is up. I don't want to see any casualties in our church of people that drowned and we didn't even notice. May God deliver us, the only true lifeguard, from drowning. Let's stand together, shall we? Ladies, you can just stay where you are. Father, I don't feel compelled to have an invitation tonight. But Lord, it could be there's folks that are drowning tonight. And maybe it's nobody here.